Hey guys, this is Pete, Wes, and Matt from Red Flag Poetry Service, proudly supported by the Indiana University of Pennsylvania English Literature and Criticism Program. Thanks for joining us today for this slightly delayed interview with Pittsburgh poet Lisa Panapinto. We hope you enjoy it.
So we tend to start these interviews because mail is such an important part of the Red Flag ethos, I guess. We tend to ask, what's your favorite piece of mail that you've ever received is? And sometimes we ask about the most recent, and sometimes we ask about the most favorite of all time. So what strikes you?
I guess the thing that comes to mind for me is something I got about a year ago from a close friend of mine, Eva, who sent me some homemade body butter and lip balm that she made from all natural ingredients and put in some recycled jars and packed really well and included a nice note about how they were made with love. And so every time I put the lip balm on or the body butter, I think of being balmed with love and that it's kind of protecting me.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. That's way cooler than anything that I've ever seen. Yeah. Yeah,
it's very powerful at the same time too. Yeah,
yeah. That's great. Well, so about your poem specifically, where did it come from? What was your inspiration? Is it an actual scene, or?
Yeah, it was inspired from some actual scenes. I wrote it probably about 4 years ago, so it's a little bit older now, and it's based on when I got laid off from a job that I had at a university athletic department, and I ran into somebody I knew in the parking lot, and he asked me what I was going to do now. And I think that I'd kind of incorporated the positive psychology of sports into my mind a lot, and that impose your will, kind of act like a champion attitude. And so saving the planet is something that's always been a priority of mine, and just protecting the earth. So that was just an imaginary dream answer. And then I envisioned the planet as being a friend who really picked me up and brought me to her house and took my bike with her, and then I rode my bike home. And also it was during winter where the crows tend to roost together and all sleep together in the trees, so I thought of riding home underneath the dreams of crows, and that they would probably be wanting the planet to be saved too.
No, that's great. So we met in Maine, you and I. So I have to ask if this was this at in Maine when you wrote this, or the scene that inspires it?
Yeah, right.
Okay, great. So That means a little bit to me then, because I can see the dark frost streets and the wet cold and the bread and smoke. This is very, very northern wintry and really wonderful. So what about other places? Is this a regular style of yours, or is this something that was particular for this poem?
Yeah, I think that place plays a big part in all of my writing and my life too. I think the place creates us, and it's like a character in my writing and just in my life too. I consider the earth and the environment as a friend and like a mother and a teacher. So wherever I am is very important to me, to look to the earth.
Yeah. And that's an interesting duality too, place not only being where you reside, but place as a person too, and that personification of earth, and that all comes together really beautifully in this poem. So what about other sources of inspiration? Place and earth, are there poets that you look to for inspiration, or music as well?
Yeah, both of those. Poetry, definitely. Right now I'm reading Joy Harjo's new poetry collection. It's called Conflict Resolution for Holy Beings, and it's just really mind-blowing, I think. And music, too. I'm always listening to music when I write, and I try to have the rhythms of songs come out in my poetry. And I'm also really inspired just by people in my life and my friendships. And I have a lot of friends who are working towards social justice causes and truth and reconciliation and decolonization, and also Native Americans issues come up a lot for me, and just the respect that they have for the earth, I think, a lot of times. And also I like to think about the Native Americans wherever I'm at, like in Pittsburgh now. I just think about how where the Three Rivers join, we're all Seneca villages, and how much that has changed after genocide and war and disease, and just how sacrifices the natives have made of being displaced, or have we have so much to be grateful for and or to give thanks to those lives.
Right. How has Pittsburgh shaped your writing? Has it changed since you've been there?
Yeah, I think it's shaping my writing a lot. I feel like a theme that's been coming out a lot for me is just trying to maintain that sense of wilderness that was so present in Maine down here.
Right.
And find it hidden in the industry and in the city.
Right.
I think that's a really great contrast, too, the wilderness and that's hidden in the city. It's a very interesting idea.
Oh, great. Yeah. Thank you.
Well, and I mean, Pittsburgh is a really interesting spot for those kinds of intersections too. And yeah, great. So we wanted to ask about the ability of poetry to embody physical experience. And I think that you've already spoken to this a bit. But I guess we're asking specifically about the idea of a single poem on a postcard and the understanding of the physical world that that brings. So you've already spoken to this quite a bit, I think. But what do you think about the single poem as an experience of the physical world or an understanding of the physical world?
Yeah, I really like the idea of having a poem on a postcard. I think it's really innovative, and I just think especially print is so valuable, and I hate to see it being lost because you can carry it anywhere and you can take it outside into the actual sky and light and see it in a different way, and you don't know how many hands it's passed through in the post office and the mail carriers who would excuse me see this poem who normally wouldn't see poetry maybe, and might be struck by something just in passing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if that answers your question that well.
Yeah, no, I think it does. And especially thinking about the poem going out into the world. And I mean, we have subscribers in Canada, and I mean, I think a goal that we really want to hit in the next year or so is all 50 states. We'd like to send, you know, at least one poem to each state. And the idea of it going through all of these different post offices, you know, a lot of them go through Pennsylvania post offices now, of course, but the idea of, you know, that manifestation of the poem actually getting a stamp and rolling through and getting that, getting the code on the bottom and then getting shipped out. And my girlfriend subscribed, and so when she received your poem, she actually had mail forwarding, so... But the mail forwarding had already ended, so she actually got it after it had been forwarded twice, about a week and a half later. And it has, like, six extra, you know, like, weird little stickers on it. And it was almost a different experience seeing that version of your poem than the one that I received in the mail and the one that I looked at as Peter was editing it. So that's really cool.
Yeah, it just travels. Like, it's on a journey.
Yeah, yeah. So what about you as a writer? Do you have a routine? Do you write daily? Do you write outside? Do you have a space inside?
I try to write every day, at least a few hours, and pretty much the only rituals I would say is trying to carve out some solitude time. And even if I'm with somebody, sometimes that's just putting a barrier around myself through headphones and listening to music. And I'd say I'm always listening to music while I write. I write in my journal a lot and then go to the computer to process the ideas that I see in my journal.
Yeah. So handwriting is a crucial step for you too.
Yeah, definitely.
We wanted to give you an opportunity to talk about I've Learned to Worship the Infinite on a Smaller Scale, which is a poem of yours that we put in Poetry Express a few months ago, that people really seem to like. And of course we chose that for Poetry Express because of the length, because it would have been awesome to see that on a postcard too, just kind of impractical. But is there anything that you want to say about that poem and where it came from?
Sure. I think that it has a similar theme as What Are You Going to Do Now, the mm-hmm. one that was on the postcard.
Yeah.
Just seeing that one I wrote in Pittsburgh, the Learning to Worship the Infinite on a Smaller Scale, and just kind of seeing some assaults to the earth and also to people, because I think what happens to the earth also happens to us, with a kid being assaulted by the police while the police just turn a blind eye to people drinking in public, and also just trying to claim the animals and recognize the animals and plants and how much they mean to the narrator, and try to, I guess, will them to have more power in life than mainstream society gives them credit for.
Yeah. Yeah.
So those are some of the ideas that I see in it.
I think those are very powerful themes for poetry to address. You know, there's a lot of things that nonfiction or even fiction just can't possibly touch that poetry does through those means. And I think that your two poems are doing it very well.
Oh, thanks so much.
Do you have, so you're currently a reader for Cabildo Quarterly too, with and are you still with Cabildo Quarterly? Yes.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right.
Okay, great. Which I had a story in a long time ago, but is Mike still part of that as well?
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, I remember you were in number one.
Yeah, yeah. Which is a really cool project too. Is it still the one broadsheet?
Yeah, it's the broadsheet, and then we also have an online edition at cabildoquarterly.tumblr.com.
Awesome.
And yeah, I'm still going strong with that and looking for poetry submissions.
Great. Great. And you have two collections out now. Is there anything else that you have coming up that we can look for, or that we can kind of advertise for you a bit here?
Well, I did. I also just wrote a pamphlet. I guess some people consider it a chapbook, but it's called Outside the Rules of Industry, and that's 33 short poems that I self-published in the summer.
Awesome.
And I've submitted some things to journals recently, and I'm hoping that they'll come out this year.
Well, we were really glad to have you be a part of this, and really glad to get to share your work the way that we like to do it. So thank you very much for sitting and talking with us, and we look forward to getting this up on the internet.
You guys have been great to work with. You're so professional, and I'm really honored to be part of your project.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Grateful to have you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care, Lisa.
Thank you.
Talk to you later.
Bye.
Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to this interview with Pittsburgh poet Lisa Panapinto. Make sure you check back soon for our next interview with Laura Scroggs. Soon. Bye.